Welcome back to Overdue. I'm Mrs. Watts, your Annex Librarian.
And I'm Coach Hill, your main building librarian. In today's episode, we'll sit down and chat with a couple of local business owners who just also happen to be White House High School graduates. But first, let's dust off the cover of some banned books.
Because it's banned books week!
It's banned books week!
So on this episode, we're featuring banned books. But before we dive into some of those covers, we want to talk about what Banned Books Week is. So in the 1980s, there was this huge surge in books that were being challenged for unpopular ideas or unorthodox ideas. And now there's an annual event at the end of September that celebrates the freedom to seek and express all these different ideas. And ALA puts together a list, that's the American Library Association, puts together a list of the top banned or challenged books each year. So these books could be challenged for any variety of reasons. It could be due to the sexual content, profanity, religious viewpoints or political viewpoints, all kinds of things, John. So you see a variety of books on these lists.
Yeah, and so when Ms. Watts says that these books are challenged, that's a form of censorship. Mm-hmm. And as expected, ALA takes censorship very, very seriously. Of course, they are staunchly against it. They have a number of formal statements and policies on the topic of censorship, all available on their website, excuse me. And they have documents on there also, such as the Library Bill of Rights and another document called Freedom to Read. And so that's one that I want to just look at a little more closely. You know, the name of it is kind of self-explanatory, freedom to read, kind of saying you should be able to read whatever you want to read. That's the ALA stance. And so I don't want to mischaracterize, what their tone or what they're trying to say or misrepresent their words. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just read a few things from the document Freedom to Read.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
So part of it says the freedom to read is guaranteed by the Constitution. Those with faith in free people will stand firm on these constitutional guarantees of essential rights and will exercise the responsibilities that accompany these rights. And then so after that, it gives this list of seven, I think they're called propositions, but they're kind of just these statements with explanations about freedom to read. And that's why it's called freedom to read. So, and then after it makes those seven statements and explains them, it says this. It says, yeah, here it is. They're called propositions. Yeah. It says, we state these propositions neither lightly nor as easy generalizations. We here stake out a lofty claim for the value of the written word. We do so because we believe that it is possessed of enormous variety and usefulness, worthy of cherishing and keeping free. We realize that the application of these propositions may mean the dissemination of ideas and manners of expression that are repugnant to many persons. We do not state these propositions in the comfortable belief that what people read is unimportant. We believe, rather, that what people read is deeply important, that ideas can be dangerous, but that the suppression of ideas is fatal to a democratic society. And I love this last sentence here. Freedom itself is a dangerous way of life, but it is ours.
I love that
last sentence. I'm going to read it again. Freedom itself is a dangerous way of life, but it is ours.
That's awesome.
So on our online catalog, Ms. Watts has put together a list of 100 banned books that we have available for checkout.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not sure how to access that, you can see one of us or you can scan one of the many QR codes that we have posted around both libraries or around school. So for Banned Books Week, we thought that it would be fun to play a little trivia game with each other.
Which we're a little nervous about.
We might go over on this, but we're going to go for it anyways. So here's what we're going to do. I took the first half of the list, and Ms. Watts took the back half of the list, and we each picked three books. And so we're going to tell each other not the books that we picked, but why those books were banned, and then see if the other person can guess which book we're talking about. Now, that said, in an attempt to not go over, we're going to make it multiple choice.
we don't want to embarrass ourselves too much.
We still might go over. So I'm going to go first. Okay. So
I'm like nervous.
This first book I picked was banned or challenged because it was pro-communist and contained explicit sexual matter. So am I talking about Brave New World or am I talking about 1984? And we also, while Ms. Watts is thinking, we also tried to pick like titles that generally people knew, because there are some books on there that I've never read or even heard of.
Yeah.
So we tried to pick some more common titles. So again, this first one was challenged for being pro-communist and for containing explicit sexual matter. And the two choices are Brave New World or 1984.
Is it Brave New World?
It's 1984.
No!
It's 1984.
Dang. Okay. Well,
I have a chance for an early lead here.
He has a chance for yes. Okay. So the first one, which of these classics was banned for the use of profanity and images of violence and sexuality? Was it Of Mice and Men or Invisible Man?
I'm going to say Invisible Man.
You're right.
One for one. One score is one. I didn't know it was a game, but now it is. The score is 1-0.
Of course it's a game.
I only made it a game because I have an early lead. Okay, second book. This second book was challenged for having curse words and for not being age appropriate for middle schoolers.
Okay.
Am I talking about Ender's Game or Harry Potter?
Ender's Game.
Ender's Game is correct.
Nice.
Ender's Game is correct.
Nice. Okay, the second one, which of these young adult novels was banned for promoting homosexuality? Is it Perks of Being a Wallflower or The Hate U Give?
Oh, man. Perks of Being a Wallflower.
You're right.
Yeah, 2-2. 2-2.
I'm still behind, y'all.
Okay, here's your chance to tie. We might end in a tie. Okay, here we go. Last one that I picked from the first half of the list you put together.
Okay.
This book was challenged for having a morbid plot, for crude language, and for sexual content.
Okay.
Am I talking about The Fault in Our Stars or The Adventures of Tom Sawyer?
What were the reasons again?
Morbid plot, crude language, sexual content.
Is it Tom Sawyer?
It's not Tom Sawyer.
No!
It's The Fault in Our Stars.
I'm terrible.
So before the win, I've already won.
You've won.
The game's over. But let's go ahead. Let's see if I can expand the win.
Yes, absolutely.
Rub it in a little bit.
Yeah. Or if I can just catch you again. All right. So it's another set of YA novels. Which one was challenged for discussing teen suicide? Is it Looking for Alaska or 13 Reasons Why?
13 Reasons Why.
Yes.
That was an easy one.
That was an easy one.
That was an easy one.
Yeah.
So I'll point out before we finish up here, though. And I think
John's
agree.
Better
well,
than me.
Well, yeah, I actually wasn't going to do that, but yeah.
I'm okay.
Mark that
with
off
it.
As a win.
I'm okay with it.
But a lot of the reasons that the books are challenged and banned are similar, right? There seems like,
yes.
You know, it's language, sexual content,
right.
Violence. Like you just, that's a lot of the reasons why books get challenged, it seems like. I mean, it's not just those, but
it's true.
Seems like they're pretty common. So again, like I said, we have a list of 100 books that we have available for checkout on our online catalog that you can see. And so if you feel like you need to stick it to the man a little bit and read a book that somebody doesn't want you to, check out that list and pick a book and check it out.
Yeah.
And we're going to come back to Banned Books Week a little bit later. But first, we're gonna switch gears and we're going to head over to Hometown Nutrition here in White House, Tennessee. And we're going to talk with the business owners of Hometown Nutrition, who are White House High School graduates. So that should be fun.
It should be fun. I'm excited about
it. Yeah, stick with us. Okay, so we are here at Hometown Nutrition, which is a new business here in White House, Tennessee that is owned and operated by White House High School graduates Haley Ellis and Austin Hardy. Thank you guys for sitting down with us today after hours. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so just to start, if you could just like tell us a little bit about your business, where the idea came from. There's a lot of things here. Where the idea came from, why'd you come back to White House, why this particular business type in general. Just give us the background of what y'all are doing here.
So Austin and I actually dated prior to college. I followed him to college.
Doesn't sound creepy at all.
Yeah. And I started going to this shake shop after I would exercise, and I started bringing him, and we would kind of do like little shake dates. And I asked the girl who owned it, I was like, could I please have an application to work there. And so she's like, yeah, sure. Just like send me an email. It's nothing fancy. So I got the job. I worked there for almost 2 semesters. And she asked me if I'd be interested in opening one of these. So of course I talked to him and he was like, heck yeah. Like, let's roll with it. Why not? Who wants, like, why wouldn't somebody want to be their own boss? And so here we are.
What's funny is when she sat down with me to talk about it, she started the conversation like, all right, now hear me out. Because I was already working almost full-time and everything and about to finish school. But yeah, so we also saw an opportunity to come back to our hometown. That was the main thing. We wanted to be in our hometown. But we had other cities that we were, you know, looking at because we didn't know, you know, if White House would work out or all that kind of stuff, if rent would be too high here, all that kind of stuff. But we found this place, and immediately both of us were just like, let's do it. Let's go.
So are you guys like a, not a spinoff, but like a, another chain, not a chain, like another location of that original spot you were talking about?
So we're not necessarily a chain. We're all independently owned.
Okay.
But there are other.
Is it like the same product?
Yeah. Like we have the same product.
Like same menu and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But we just.
Yeah.
We own it. So no franchise fees or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
Like that.
Cool.
So yeah, we just like to help people, and that's kind of where it came about.
That's awesome.
Were either of you like originally in
nutrition
or business or nutrition? Like either one in
yeah, what were you guys studying? Even like studying in college
or in nutrition?
I was studying advertising and marketing. So
okay.
I guess.
You're in the right arena there.
But we did. Like, we're really good at social media marketing and all that stuff. So that kind of translated straight into this.
Sure.
Cool.
So I actually went to college to be study chemistry.
Oh, cool.
And I didn't like it. Yeah. And so,
well, I mean, you're kind of mixing stuff back there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I actually followed him again, twice, maybe. And I studied advertising and marketing, too.
So cool. Very cool.
Well, that's good. What has been the biggest surprise as you opened up and started this business, and then the biggest challenge?
I think
might be one and the same, either one. But.
Biggest surprise would be all of, like, the support. I mean, we knew we would have support, but like
it's been overflow
of support that we've had from our family, our friends, the community, people that know our family or know our friends that have just literally outpoured their heart to us.
Yeah, it's been overwhelming.
I guess that's a perk of coming back home. Right?
Yeah. So, and then our challenge.
I guess our biggest challenge is just kind of adjusting because we're new business owners.
Sure.
Like, we've never done this before. We've never done anything like this before. So the biggest challenge is like learning how to, you know, taxes and all that stuff. That's the major thing that we've had to adjust to.
Learning how to run a business.
Basically, y'all, just all the ins and outs, and then also being here and talking to people is probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Cool. So talk to us about just kind of where you see the business going in any kind of time frame, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, whatever. Just what's next for you guys as you move forward? Or is it just take what you got and try to perfect it?
Definitely we always want to grow. So we always want to try to perfect what we have. We would love to hire someone. Teach somebody kind of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like create the same experience you had. Or just get extra help, either one.
Probably both.
Both.
We love obviously being here all day, every day, but it would be wonderful to have help. And we would love to expand. Yeah. So while we love this location, we love everybody that comes in, we would love to, you know, duplicate. So.
Okay.
Do you know where that next location, like, do you have a top three or anything of where
location
those might
wise?
Be? Yeah. You don't have to share
just,
if that's like, if
well,
that's
just
top secret.
I mean, it's no secret. Just surrounding.
Just close.
Sure.
Close.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Something that I can get my car and drive to.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, make some rounds too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So you are White House High School graduate, so we want to kind of play on that a little bit. Do you have any extra fond memories of White House High School that stand out, that are like at the forefront of your mind?
Sophomore year geometry, maybe.
Oh, yeah. My favorite class.
Mine would probably be DECA.
Yeah?
I was in DECA for 3 years, and when Miss Walters was there. I don't know if y'all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when Miss Walters was there, she was incredible. She kind of guided me into advertising and marketing, that kind of direction. She was awesome. And
so, I mean, it sounds like your experience in DECA has a direct translation
absolutely.
To what you're doing right now.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
doing competing and going in front of people and talking like, this is my idea. Would you, you know, mm-hmm. give me a loan for it, basically, mm-hmm. you know? And so that kind of gave me confidence to talk to anybody. And we had Ace Connect was our biggest project. It was me, Trey Hudson, and Jeffrey Cook. And I hope they listen to this. That'd be sweet. But anyway.
I will.
We had Ace Connect, and we had our judge, because they judge you off your presentation and stuff, and if they give you a loan for it, she was like trying to get out of her seat, like, if you made this right now, I would give you whatever you're asking for. Hmm. So it was super cool.
Yeah.
We came out of there high-fiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was awesome.
My favorite memory, I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite memory, but just like the social aspect, like getting involved, staying involved, because obviously there's times where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, but like sticking with it. That's kind of what school's about. Like, okay, yeah, sure, the work, but what else can I get involved in? What else can I do? That's what I liked most, I guess,
cool.
about school.
All the extra.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for current White House High School students?
My advice would be to get involved. stay focused. I know there's a lot of things that you probably don't want to do, but just do it. Stick with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my biggest thing, sounds cliche, but don't wish it away, because there's a lot of times I'm not one of those guys that sits around and, you know, tell me and be like, oh man, wish I was back in high school. But I really do. You know, you get out of high school,
sure.
and like,
you had a good experience.
Some of the easiest times of my life, but you don't even realize it. Some of the best times of your life, you don't even realize it. So that's probably my biggest advice.
Yeah.
Don't wish it away.
Yeah.
Because you get
to
college.
And the people there, I mean, they really do shape you into who you are.
Like, spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah. Like the teachers, the principals. I mean,
it's a time in your life when you're so impressionable, not just in school, but just in general. I mean,
there were many, many, many times where me and my friends, we'd walk into Ms. Miller's office and be like, okay, this is what's going on. What do we need to do? And she would just give us advice. I mean,
yeah.
not principal student advice, but like life advice.
Sure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
That those little moments are so meaningful.
So
we have one little question that we do kind of on the end of our segment. And the question is, what's your preference, coffee or tea?
Well, we serve tea. but we do have a proteinized coffee that we love.
It is. So right now, my only coffee.
This is the best answer to this question.
Yes,
so far.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we love coffee. Like, we love the taste of coffee. We don't necessarily like the benefits of it, but...
Okay.
That's why taste of coffee is just... You can't get any better, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's why we had to have so many coffee flavors.
Yeah.
Every morning, I'd be walking in with a cup. She's like, we serve coffee now. I was like, okay, so now that's all I do is drink coffee.
Right.
Yeah. So, definitely coffee.
So, coffee for both of you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, all our listeners, please don't forget to come see Hometown Nutrition, try their shakes and teas, and meet the awesome owners, and then stop by either library to get your own coffee, tea, hot chocolate, iced lattes, whatever it is that you desire. But right now, we're going to finish up this episode and take the last sip.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So to finish up today, we're gonna kind of double down here on Banned Books Week, because it's such a, I don't know, an iconic and important kind of annual thing that
yeah.
happens nationwide.
Once a year.
Right, in all of our libraries.
Mm-hmm.
So we each decided to pick a book from the list that we really like. So, you know, the whole thing with Banned Books Weeks is people challenging books and saying, don't read this book, you know,
right.
for X, Y, and Z. So we're kind of flip the script here a little bit and talk about a book from the list. And not that there's only one for each of us, but talk about a book from the list that we each really like.
Well, and this list is from the one that we created that we have. So we have these books in our libraries
right.
to check out.
Yeah,
so
this isn't the only list of banned books. These are just the ones that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the book that I chose is a classic. It's Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a memory of being in high school and an adult. I can't remember if it was a teacher or a substitute teacher, but just making a comment that every high school boy should read Catcher in the Rye. And I, at that point, I had never read Catcher in the Rye. So
I read Catcher in the Rye. And looking back now as an adult, because I've read this book many, many, many times. Actually, for a while, I was reading it every Christmas break.
Really?
Because it's a Christmas book. I mean, it's not a Christmas book, but it yeah. like takes place during the Christmas season.
Yeah.
So I was just, you know, it's a pretty quick read. So I would just, you know, Christmas break, I'm going to read Catcher in the Rye.
I know a lot of people that do that with Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, the book follows, well, the book is narrated by the main character, Holden Caulfield. I had to think of his name for a second there. And it follows, so he's 16 years old, and the fall semester has just ended at his boarding school, right? So hence the Christmas time thing. And he gets expelled from school. And the book is his account of like the next 2 or 3 days, I can't remember which one, of what he does after he gets expelled from school, because he doesn't just head straight home. And if I recall correctly, I'm pretty sure somewhere in the book he alludes to the fact that as he's telling this story, he's like maybe getting a little bit of therapy or something for some mental stuff. And I could be way wrong on that. That's just kind of what stuck in my head, because I actually didn't read the book last Christmas break. But anyways, this book was banned or censored or challenged and has been multiple times for vulgar language. It has references to prostitution. It has references to premarital sex, violence, alcohol use and abuse, and a bunch of other reasons that are kind of related to all of those. And again, I remember, man, I wish I could remember who it was. This is so unimportant, but I feel like it was a substitute teacher, but the substitute teacher was the son of one of our regular teachers.
Okay.
But again, he made that comment that every high school boy should read Catcher in the Rye.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as a teenager when I read it, I think he might have said that because as a 16-year-old boy, it becomes really easy to relate to Holden Caulfield in the book, who's 16 years old, and you're kind of like not cheering for him as you read it, but you're just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you get a little bit older, right? And you read it in your early 20s, and then you read it in your late 20s, and now I'm kind of in my early 30s. And you read it, and now from an adult's perspective, reading about what this 16-year-old boy is doing, you're like, what? No. Like,
not the same.
Like, you just don't relate to it the same way you did when you were 16 years old.
Yeah.
But I still appreciate the book as an adult now, and I do still enjoy reading it, even though I didn't read it last Christmas break. I guess I kind of just locked myself into reading it this Christmas break, since I'm talking about how I've done that many,
I think
many
you
times.
Have, yeah.
And I don't want to limit it to only high school boys reading it, because I can remember a number of times when I was teaching math, there would be girls in the class with Catcher in the Rye on their, yeah. on their desk, and we had great conversations about it.
For sure.
It's definitely one of my favorite books. I understand, I think, why it's been challenged. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't going anywhere with that. Your turn.
So the book I chose from the list that we have in our libraries is Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell. And it was written in 2013. So definitely written in a different time.
Yeah.
But the characters are the same age. So I just now, as you were talking, realized that. I'll start with, it was banned for the language, which so many books are, mm-hmm. and adult themes. The depictions of race and abuse were debated a lot around this book. And so the book features 2 16-year-olds. It's one girl who has just moved to a new school, new area. Actually, she's moving back in with her family after being kicked out for a year, and is invited by one of these popular boys to sit with them on the bus, but kind of in a crass way. So there's this different dynamic. And so she is bullied for her looks, both in school and at home. And then the book kind of highlights that he's half Korean. And so there's that race depiction that is challenged, but they end up finding a friendship just kind of that is unexpected. Mm-hmm. And then just the difficulties they face. Like, she, again, is bullied at home and at school.
Right.
And then he comes from a loving family, but isn't quite wanting the same things that they want for mm-hmm. his life. So just a couple of different conflicts
yeah.
going on there.
I've never read that.
Yeah. I really liked what the author said in one of the interviews about why it was challenged, was that, especially like with the language, mm-hmm. she said that the main characters hardly ever use profanity, but they're surrounded by it. But she said that depicts the the difficult, complicated world they live in. Yeah. So I thought that was really neat that she was just so intentional about, you know, portraying the difficult world that some of our high schoolers live. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell.
Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is not planned, but if you're okay with it, I think we should just tell a little story about something that we experienced together. So we were getting ready for this podcast and looking at our list of banned books. Miss Watts put together the big old list, and we both saw Kite Runner on the list.
Yeah.
And kind of at the same time, we were like, why is Kite Runner a banned book? Right. So we Googled it and whatever. And we had a little bit of a discussion about it amongst ourselves. And then kind of that was it. Right.
Right.
And so then it was like the next day or the 2 days after that. Mm-hmm. And we just to preface this, like, we didn't bring it up at all. We weren't even talking about this. I don't remember what we were talking about, but it came up. So we were having a discussion, the two of us, with a colleague.
Yeah.
And he brought up Kite Runner. Yeah. And instantly started talking about how heavy of a book it is, because he has teenagers, heavy of a book it is for teenagers to read, and how maybe at that age, teenagers aren't quite ready to handle such heavy stuff.
Right.
And not to speak for you, I'll let you speak for yourself, but I know that, you know, I have young kids and you do too. And we just, I shouldn't say we, I never really considered it from that perspective, from the perspective of a parent of a teenager. And not to speak for him, but it, you know, it's not so much that you shouldn't read it. It's just that you need help unpacking all of that, because at 15, 16, 17 years old, maybe you're not quite ready to handle that on your own yet. And you just need help with that. Right. So I don't know. I just feel like I just told the whole story and didn't let you talk, but
no, you're fine. I think some of those heavy things, like the cool thing about those books is that it shares the story that some of our kids walk through, but then it tells a story that some of our kids have never heard before, and it's completely foreign.
Yeah.
So it's like
relatable
to some, and so they don't feel alone. And then it's just difficult for others because they've never experienced that. And so I think in his position, he was like wanting to be able to support his child as they dealt with those heavy things that weren't a part of their
and understandably life. So, right?
Absolutely.
Like, especially as we were talking, you could see it, you know, just understandably so.
Yeah.
It was a really good conversation, I thought.
It was
just interesting how it all came up too, so organically, because after we had talked about it that one day, it was kind of, you know, done and over with.
Right.
But it's crazy how much your perspective matters when you're on everything, but you know,
especially when you're reading.
It was good conversation, I think, for me personally, for two reasons. One, as a high school librarian, and two, as a parent.
Right.
I mean, you know, my oldest child is 4 years old. and so, you know, we deal with our own stuff, but, you know, at some point down the line, like, that's going to come up, you know, and teaching your young adult how to deal with or learn about or read about such heavy topics, I thought. I don't know. It was just good convo.
It was
good convo, and I'm glad that we had it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it came up, because we weren't planning on it.
Even as an adult, I feel like I just am really blessed not to have had to experience some things that our students have had to go through, or, you know, kids everywhere. And so to read some of those books are difficult for me to process. It's hard things and
right. And so to his point, you as an adult, right? It's hard for you as an adult to do it. Imagine.
Yes.
You know, a young adult.
Right.
Who's still maturing and growing in so many ways.
Right.
Having to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. It was
good.
And it kind of fit. I mean, not that this matters, but it fit for our band books week and for our podcast here. So
it did. And I think that's one of the things that's so important about Band Books Week is just exposing ourselves to the difficult things that other people go through, and being available to share the experience, talk about the experience, to carry the weight of those things.
And I like what you said too about how, you know, books can be a way for people to see themselves. People can identify with a character in a book, and that in and of itself can provide comfort for people when you're reading about a character that's experiencing something that you've experienced. Whether it's fiction or not, you know, it allows you to identify with someone, which is so important. Or the other side of that is,
it can, again, even in fiction, it can allow you to learn about something that you don't want to experience and you haven't experienced from the other side of that coin. So I thought that was a really good point that you made. And I wanted to give you credit before we finish up. Yeah.
So I didn't totally lose on Fan Books Week. Well, guys, it's time for us to check out, but don't forget to follow us at BDP_library on Twitter and Instagram. We've got library updates, news, and giveaways. And John?
Are you not going to tell people to share with a friend?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to share us with a friend. We want all the friends.
Yeah, guys, be sure to check back with us every other Wednesday for the next episode of Overdue. Make time to read. Thanks for listening.